As I said in the beginning, I start talking about the courts of heaven, and some of you ask me, why a sermon on the courts of heaven? Well, I gave you a few answers, and some of you didn't quite like what I answered. So my boss told me, you know what, I want you to give this people an idea what you're talking about, because some of them are completely up there, had no clue about what you're saying. So, our wonderful sisters gave me a book called Operating on the Courtroom of Heaven. And this guy has some very, very interesting things. So I will read some of his notes today. But before I do that, I would like to make a quick explanation for those of you who have no idea about what are the courts of heaven, you know. And by the way, let me say that heaven is not a place full of courts and judge and you don't have any fun, you go straight from here to the court. This is not the point. And this is the reason why this morning I want to make a little explanation here. When we are in the courts of heaven, there is a purpose and significance to it. The courts of heaven are places where the legal proceedings of heaven are carried out. I'll say it again. The courts of heaven are places where the legal proceedings of heaven are carried out. Cases are brought before the judge. Which judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, can you put Revelation 12:10 up there for these folks? Real quick. Thank you, sir. Revelation 12:10. There is a judge in heaven. Cases are brought before him. And folks, let me tell you, many cases in our lives will not be fully decided and resolved until we learn to operate on the courts of heaven. Read it with me. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So what you're saying, preacher, what I'm saying here is that there is an accuser in heaven. This low life delights himself in nothing else but to lie against you. To take things that you meant well, trying to distort it and present it in the wrongful way before the throne of God. You say, this don't make no sense. Really? God told Eva and Adam, or Adam and Eve, whatever you want to call it, hey, you guys can eat everything on this garden, but from that tree over there, don't touch. Don't touch. Don't eat. The day that you do, you're going to die. You got it, boys and girls? Yes, sir. Satan came and said, what did God say to you? Did he say that on the day that you eat this thing, you will die? Yeah, that's correct. He's lying. The reason he said so is because he knows the day that you eat of it, you're going to be just like him. You're going to be God just like him. God didn't say that. But this low life, punk, good for nothing, useless piece of garbage called devil, will take the truth of God's word and distort it. I believe that in the same way, things that we do here, he doesn't know our hearts. And because he doesn't know, he has access to heaven, he's going to be out there accusing you and I before heaven. Are you with me so far? This is why I say that the courts of heaven are places where the legal proceedings of heaven are carried out. Cases are brought before a judge, our judge. Witness testify, and rulings are handed down. Are we together here? How many of you have ever met somebody that says, I thank God for a praying mother or a praying grandmother. Anybody? how many times the parents or grandparents went to the courts of heaven bringing their children and deliverance, salvation, and all the other good stuff has been granted to them because parents were in the courts of heaven. Can we agree on this? Then you may say, well, people, preacher, what is the purpose of the courts of heaven? Well, the answer is very simple. Defeating your adversary. Defeating your accuser. Are we together here? Somebody asked me, do you really think that there are courts in heaven? And that there are court proceedings in heaven? Yes, I do. In the book of Daniel, well, let's go first. In the book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse 1, give me the New Living Translation, please. Tells us about procedures in the courts of heaven. Psalms 82, verse 1. Read it with me. God presides . Did I make my point?
Yes.
There is, according to this scripture here, a court in heaven. The master judge is God. And it says that he pronounces judgment on the heavenly beings. Who are they? Demonic forces coming to accuse you and I. The Message Bible makes it a little better than this. May I have the Message Bible here? God call. Are we together so far? So there are courts in heaven. There is a stinking accuser that will come. And I'll tell you this. I believe from the bottom of my heart that one of Satan's favorite times in heaven is the time that you and I just did a little mess. Like what? You told your child, don't do this. Don't do this. Okay. Don't do this. Okay. And they go and they do it. Are you with me here? And then you look at that child and said, what an idiot. Say, ha! You see? He just called his child an idiot. You see, this so-called Christian, huh? They're leaders in church. That's what he does. He's an accuser. He's an idiot. Good for nothing. Or you're standing here on the McDonald line waiting to get your dose of poison. And somebody came in, hey, what's up? Hey, can I have that? And then you were right here. And then you say, hey, excuse me, am I invisible? Oh, what's up, man? Am I invisible? What's your problem? And then you go, what an idiot. Huh? The accuser say, see, I told you. This guy's a good for nothing. This so-called Christian. You say, I think, brother, that you are fantasizing. No, I am not. And the proof to that is in the book of Job. It says that one day, when the children of God came, you know, to present themselves before God, the devil came among them. Isn't that right? Yeah. And God said, did you see my boy Job? Ha! Anybody can be as good as he is. I mean, you give this guy so much. The guy's filthy rich. You give him everything that his heart desires. Who wouldn't? Are you with me so far? So that's his task. He's an accuser. So there are courts in heaven. There are legal procedures. On a daily basis. There are witnesses. And there are sentences that are handed down. Somebody asked me the last time I spoke about this, who are the witnesses in heaven? Well, the Bible says that we got three witnesses. We got the word, the water, and the blood. Are we together so far? There's another witness. The prayers of the saints that is deposited in the bowl. So whenever we mess up like this, we go to the courts of heaven so that the right verdict can be pronounced. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 explains to us in a very, very, very simple way about this courts of heaven stuff. Look at this. 1 John 2 1. Read it with me. My little children, these things I write to you, so that, but did you know that the word advocate there means lawyer? If you messed up and you sin, relax. We've got a lawyer. And this is when you and I have to go to the courts of heaven and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I called this idiot an idiot. I am so sorry. Forgive me, purify my lips. Turn around. Move on. You've got a lawyer right before the Father. And then somebody say, so that's good. I mean, I can call somebody an idiot every day and then go back to Jesus. Not necessarily. Because the word says that we've got a lawyer. And then it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous. Not only to forgive, but to cleanse us from the desire of calling people caught in front of us at McDonald's idiots. Are we together so far?
Yes.
So there are legal procedures that are gone on a daily basis. And one of you may say, I still have a hard time thinking that heaven has court. Yes, it does. Because there is an accuser. According to Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, may I have the nearly inspired version, please? Zechariah 3:1, we find something very interesting. Watch this. And this is why I say that we should be in the courts of heaven on a daily basis, beating up on this idiot. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, on the nearly inspired version. Let's read it. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angels of the Lord. Are you with me here? Now, Zechariah wasn't in heaven. He was the high priest for heaven's sake. He was on earth. So how does the Bible say he was in heaven? Because he was praying to God. And while he was praying, this lowlife is standing there. Oh, don't listen to him. Did you see what he did yesterday? Are you with me here? Did I make my point? So it's clear from these passages that Satan and his idiot evil spirits that follow him has access to the courts of heaven. And that they accuse us and try to get hardship, hard time come upon us through their accusations. Are we still together, folks? Have I made my point?
Yes.
So you may be asking, put it in practical terms. Let me say this to you. I believe that most of us, when we got the hang of being constantly in God's presence, and when we have, I'm not talking about the time that you come and you worship God and you praise Him and you enjoy Him and you enjoy His company, That has to come without saying. I'm talking about on those days in life that we are going through tough times, difficulties. When we are going through these hardship times, we can access the courts of heaven and plead our case before God. And God will hand down the verdict on our behalf. You know, many of us may be sick for a long time, and this thing is lingering. Go to the courts of heaven and make sure that you have the right argument when you come before God. What is the right argument? Read the word back to God. And I'm going to show you in a minute that when you and I start prophesying the word of God, it sets heavens in motion to act in our behalf. Is that on the Bible? Yes, it is. And I will show you. When we get into the courts of heaven in times of hardship and we start prophesying the word of God, that sets heavens in motion to respond on our behalf. Some of us may have suffered a legal setback. Some may have a business that has been hampered by governmental red tape. Some of us may just have God's plan for our lives being opposed by an adverse spirit. The courts of heaven is where our cases will be heard. Are we still together here, folks?
Yes.
So I guess that by now it is clear to your minds that there is a court of heaven. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, like every court system, there is a judge, there's a persecuted, the low life called Satan, there's a lawyer, Jesus Christ, there's witnesses, the blood, the word of our testimony, the word that we speak, the prayers of the saints, and it could go on and on and on and on. There are books in heaven, as I told you in the beginning. And I believe that if we really want to get results from the courts of heaven, we need to know how to operate within the court's parameters. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10 tells us that there are books in heaven, and these books must be open before the court of heaven goes into session. Daniel 7:10. Would you read it with me? A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Did you get that? There is court session in heaven. There are books in heaven where things are written. From this scripture, we can clearly see that an understanding of the books is important to court activities. So you may say, okay, what kind of books are you talking about? Well, I told you when I was here that there are different types of books. The last time that we were talking about this, I told you that there were different types of book. Huh? One of them was the Book of Days, that is found in Psalms 139, verse 16. A book of days? Yes. It says in here, you eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your they all were written. What was written? When as yet? So what you're saying? There are books in heaven. Each one of us has a book in heaven. And on each one of our books, God assigned to us a number of days in which we should live. And this is why I don't believe, I will not accept that God-fearing people die before time or died prematurely. I don't believe on that. Because this scripture says here that before there was any days on the life of this man, there was a book in heaven, God assigned him a number of days before those days ever existed. Therefore, we being God-fearing people, are we together here? We being God-fearing people have a book in heaven with our names. And on that book, God assigned a number of days that we should live. Therefore, I'm going to fulfill my days. Then you may be asking, how is that important? Well, this is important for the simple reason. Satan cannot take you out. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Satan cannot take you out. There's a number of days that has been assigned to you by God. The doctors can't kill you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, the doctors can't kill you.
God
has assigned you a number of days.
Days.
So if the doctors say, oh, you got cancer, you're going to die in 3 months. Baloney! You are not the ones who assigned the numbers of days that I'm going to live. Therefore, what you're saying is just guess. Or like the Lord said, just rumors. Nothing else. Are we still together so far?
Yes.
And this is why I believe God-fearing people will die whenever their number is called. Are we together so far?
Yes.
There is also in heaven the book of God's will. What is the book of God's will? It's the book that lets you and I know that God was so nuts about you that before your salvation took place, God already planned on your salvation.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 7 tells us God was so crazy about you that there were books in heaven where it was recorded that God wanted to save you, and he planned the whole thing, and somebody had to take the initiative to come and execute God's plan. Read it with me. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book is written of me to do your will, O God. God's will was to send somebody from heaven to take a human body to live in the world like you and I are living here right now, so he could understand what you are going through on a daily basis. Are we together, folks? Jesus had to come. Why? A goat, a sheep, cannot understand the difficulties that you go through on a daily basis. Are you with me so far? We needed someone that was God and yet willing to take a human form and come through all the nonsense that we go on a daily basis here, so he can fully identify with you and I. And this is why when the difficult times come, you and I can always run to the courts of heaven. Because your lawyer, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, knows exactly what you're going through. So that was the book of God's will. And what is it? That you be saved. That you had a savior that could identify with you. Somebody that lived just like you lived here, that ate fish. And one of his favorite food was fish burger. What? One of Jesus' favorite fish was fish burger. No, it's not. When he fed 5,000 people, did he give them? And? Fish burger. Then we hear about the book of good works. What do you mean the book of good works? Ephesians 2:10 says that every good stuff that you do is right written on the books. Don't run away from it. At the time it may not even look good for you. Just do it. Let God get the glory and you get the reward for being obedient. Amen. Listen to this. For we are His created in what for? Do you know that the scripture also said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God? So when you are a righteous person, you came to Jesus Christ, God has already prepared off the good stuff that you should walk into it. Therefore, I refuse to accept that Bible-believing people have to live in misery, in pain, in poverty. God did not prepare beforehand misery for us to walk in it. Are we together, folks? Why is this important? Because when you understand that God has prepared all the acts that you and I, the good works that you and I have to walk upon, we will not take the garbage that the accuser, the liar, will throw in our way. I refuse to live with pain. God did not prepare that for me before the foundation of the world. You know, sometimes I get lazy, like everybody else. And some 3 months ago, I had an excruciating pain. Poor Marcia was praying for me, and I should have prayed and I got a relief. And then like half an hour, it comes back. So at some time at 2:30, I got angry. I got angry with the pain. Poor Marcia is sleeping, and then I shout, "You idiot! Get out of my body! Now!" Marcia, jump off bed. What is going on? And you know what? Within 30 seconds, it left. God has not ordained, prepared before the foundation of the world, that I should walk in pain? In misery? No! God has not prepared a life that I'm codependent of something. I like coffee. But I stop drinking coffee whenever I want. Because coffee does not control me. I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. I used to like Coca-Cola. I have not drank Coca-Cola in 5 or 6 years. Because Coca-Cola does not control me. Are you with me here? God has prepared good works, good stuff for you and I to live in it. It's on the books in heaven. Claim it. Step into it. Live it. Walk it. Go to the courts of heaven and bring it before the Father. Amen. Slap that idiot called devil on his face. There's something else that is called the book of prophecies. And this is where I want to spend a little time here. Why is this important, folks? You may be thinking, book of prophecies, yes. And you may be wondering, what is a book of prophecy? You will find out right now. I was just talking to Karen in the beginning of the service. Well, let's do this. Let's go to Revelation. Let me show you the scripture, then I can explain. Although I know that you understand it, but let's go to Revelation. Chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. Let's go. Read it with me. And then the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me. What's wrong with y'all in the back there? Give my real translation here, will you? At least the New King James. Thou spake unto me again. Now we're talking business. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, who stands on the sea and on the earth. 9. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter. Let's go to verse 10. I love this. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten, yikes. You may be thinking, okay, preacher, this is getting weird. Verse 11. And he said to me, okay, now let's break this thing down. And I know that many of you have read this thing so many times you never got it. Why in the world would God give a book for somebody to eat? Well, mind you that God has done some crazy stuff in the past. He tell Hosea, go marry a prostitute. Say, what? Go marry a prostitute. You're not serious. Yes, I am that serious. He did. She got a baby. Call his name, not my people. What you wanna call my son? Not my people. Okay. Social security people came. Okay, what's the name of the boy? Not my people. To what? What kind of name is this? Not my people. And that says the Lord. And he proclaimed the news. Then she got another baby. It's a girl. What's her name now? Not my girl. No, her name is Despised. Are you calling you daughter Despised? Yes. Yes. Are you with me here? So this is nuts. But God had a purpose for that. Now here, God tells this guy to eat the book. And the book was sweet. But when it came to his stomach, it was bitter. So far, so good. So what's the meaning of eating a book? By the way, don't start eating Bibles out there because you're going to have indigestion. All right? And he said to me, you must prophesy. Again, about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. This is the book of prophecies. So what is this? In our days, God is not expecting you to eat a scroll or to eat your Bible. The reason that God told John to put that book in his mouth, eat it, swallow it, is because it had a prophetic meaning. And this is the meaning. When you and I today eat out God's word by enjoying ourselves on every single promise, we've got comfort. It is sweet to know that your God shall supply all your needs. Is that correct? When we eat that word and feed our spirit, stay with me, it's sweet to our mouth. But when we look at the reality around, it may be a little bitter to see that the word says so much and still I'm in this mess. So what do? I start prophesying. You may be thinking, okay, preacher, you're getting weird now, but I got what you say. So what's the big deal here? Here's the big deal, folks. Let me start by saying, every divine purpose, anything God ordained, is first written in a book in heaven. It must be sent out of heaven and birthed into the earth. You still with me, right? So what you're saying, preacher? In the course of heaven, Decisions are made. Verdicts are handed down to each one of us when we start prophesying the word of God. Whenever we start prophesying the word of God, heaven gets into motion to execute God's divine purpose that had already been established in heaven. The Bible says that God's word stands before the heavens. Are we together? Psalm 119, verse 89. God's word existed before the heavens existed. What God has ordained for your life has already been planned before you were even in the picture, before there was a planet Earth. When Jesus came in, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray." He said, "Okay, boys, when you pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven." Is that correct?
Yes.
"Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is God's will for your life to have a victorious life. It has already been written in heaven before the foundation of the world. When you and I eat that word and we start prophesying that word, guess what? Heaven gets into motion, and whatever God had prepared for your life starts getting into motion, and things start happening. I want you to look to somebody right now, and I want you to tell the person next to you, "I prophesy godliness into your life right now." Let's put this thing into motion, huh? Let's put this thing into motion. I prophesy power over your life. Divine power. In the name of Jesus. John was instructed to take the book and eat. This book was from heaven, and it was about the future and kingdom purposes of the nations. What? Yeah. It was about the kingdom purpose for people, nations, and kings. And we know this because the result of John's eating the book was the ability to prophesy to people, nation, tongues, and kings. I believe that it become my job, your job, to prophesy to our families, to prophesy to our nation, to prophesy to our neighbors out of the books of God, so that God's divine purpose can start manifesting on planet Earth. The Bible tells us in Revelation 19:10, that when John would prophesy from the books, it allowed court sessions to begin. Read it with me. Can you put up that John 19:10, please? "And I fell at his feet to worship him." But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is..." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to pay attention. Very close attention to what I'm going to say right now. Stop right now and listen to this. The word testimony here means to give judicial witness. Is anybody listening to me right now?
Yes.
The word testimony here means to give judicial witness. Jesus Christ, from his position as our high priest and mediator, is testifying in our behalf in the courts of heaven. Stay with me here. This testimony becomes a spirit of prophecy in our mouth. Follow me here. When you and I prophesy, we are not just speaking to the earthly realm. We are, in fact, picking up and discerning the present testimony of Jesus in the courts of heaven on our behalf. Did you get this? Did you get it? Let's say it again. Some of you are looking to me like I have three heads. The word testimony here on that scripture, he says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The word testimony means to give judicial witness. So Jesus Christ, our Savior, from his position as our high priest and mediator, is testifying on our behalf in the courts of heaven. This testimony becomes a spirit of prophecy in our lips. John prophesied to the nations. Is that correct? John prophesied to the nations. He started prophesying. He's speaking the word of God. He's speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. We see it together?
Yes.
When I speak the testimony of Jesus, that word becomes a spirit of prophecy. When I am prophesying, I am speaking not only to the earthly realm, I am picking up and discerning the present testimony of Jesus in the courts of heaven on my behalf. How does that happen? We are in agreement. We are agreeing with and echoing the testimony of Jesus. This grants heaven the right testimony to render verdict on our behalf, and the kingdom's purpose get into motion. Are you done, preacher? Yes. I am. There would be three more books that I wish to address, but you can check it on yourself. There's the book of Deeds that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. There is a bema. What is a bema? This is a bema. This is a bema. It's an elevated place. It's in a stage where people come and sing. It's in a space where people will come and give a speech. Corinthians says that we all will come before Christ to give account of what we have done on earth. We will be before a bema. Every single thing that we do on earth, we will be given account of. And this is why it's so important for you and I to be in the courts of heaven on a daily basis, prophesying, speaking the word of God in agreement with the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when you and I started speaking the word becomes the spirit of prophecy. When the spirit of prophecy gets spoken by us, we are echoing what Jesus is already testifying about us. Heaven gets into motion and positive verdicts is given on our behalf. So make it simple to you to understand. You have a family member that is a knucklehead. Don't want to know about Christ, is out there doing drugs, or is out there drinking, partying, the whole nine yards. And instead of prophesying, God, thank you for the salvation of my loved one. Thank you because you're bringing them in. Thank you for the big blessing that they are. You just keep talking, oh, this boy is good for nothing. This girl is useless. You're not in agreement with what God is saying. But when you start saying, God, I thank you because... Start prophesying. You said on your word, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be saved. You are prophesying God's word. When you do that, you are in agreement and you are echoing what Jesus is already testifying before the Father. And that will put heaven's emotion and the Spirit will convince that person and bring that person back to the God, the kingdom of God, because you are prophesying them into the kingdom of God. Well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but you know, my family was all poor. My grandparents were poor. My parents were poor, and I is poor. And chances are my children will be poor. You prophesying the wrong prophecy. The testimony of Christ in the eyes of God. On a daily basis, when you and I mess and we come, sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Our lawyer says, Lord, forgive them because I already carried it on Calvary cross. So the blood will wipe it out. That's the right son, I'll take it. Are you with me so far? When we start prophesying the word of God, we are echoing the testimony that Jesus is already giving about us. And therefore, whatever the enemy, the accuser, the lawyer, the lowlife, the lying punk says against us can't stand. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And I'm going to throw you the last. There's the book of life, which everybody knows, Revelation 20, verse 8. And I want to wrap this book stuff today by bringing you the last book, number 8, the book of remembrance. There's a book in heaven called the book of remembrance. Real quick, brothers, can you put up there Malachi 3:16? The book of remembrance. I want you to read it with me. Shall we? Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And my God. I hope that you're trying to get what that you're getting what God is trying to say this morning here. You are victorious whether you like it or not.
Amen.
I'll say it again. You are victorious whether you like it or not.
Amen.
You are victorious whether you agree with it or not.
Amen.
Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. And get this, so a book of remembrance was written before him for the unbelievers. For those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. When you prophesy God's word, when you speak God's word, it becomes the spirit of prophecy. It is recorded on the books. heaven get busy into it, and God will remember every prayer that you make because it is recorded on a book. No prayer that you make goes unnoticed, unheard. There is a book in heaven called the Book of Remembrance. If God would ever forget that you prayed 15 years ago for a loved one, the angel will go to the book. This right here, Father, he prayed on January the 21st, 1999 for a loved one. It is recorded in heaven. You can come before the throne. Hosea 14:10 says, bring words, plead your case, because there is books in heaven registering whatever prayer you and I do. Are we together, folks? I want you to reach to somebody right now and say, I prophesy abundance over your life.
I prophesy abundance.
Reach to somebody and say, I prophesy the salvation of your entire family. I prophesy abundant health upon you. I prophesy breakthrough over breakthrough in your lives. Tell your neighbor, I prophesy a new beginning. It's starting today, full of joy, peace, love, abundance, new beginning. I prophesy a life free of pain. Starting today, in the name of Jesus. I am inviting you, every time that these doors are open, the court is in session. The great judge Jesus Christ is here with us. And when you start pleading your case and you prophesy, you speak the word of God. The testimony of Jesus Christ becomes the spirit of prophecy. You are echoing here what is already echoing in heaven, and things get into motion and answers start coming quicker than what you will realize. Folks, 2017 will be the year of God's visitation. And y'all better be ready, because a lot of good sentence will be handed down to us. Huh? Because we're going to be prophesying God's words, not doom and gloom. May God bless you.
Amen.